Good morning, Montreal. You're listening to CKUT Radio. I'm Joe Broadhurst. It's 90.3 on your FM dial. And this morning, I'm glad to be joined by a Dr. Salam. Dr. Salam, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
I wanted to quickly, if you could describe... we're having a little bit of background noise coming from you.
Yeah, actually, I'm just traveling... Yeah.
And you're in the UK?
Yeah, I'm actually now in the UK, yes.
And you were denied access or denied entry into Canada this summer. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that and what happened?
As you know, that I'm traveling around in the world in many countries and speaking about the situation in Iraq and the humanitarian crisis. And recently I was in WHO in Geneva addressing them about the situation in the west of Iraq especially. So, and I'm a general secretary of Iraqi NGO called Doctors for Iraq, which is like the same work that we are doing in the humanitarian work in the west, especially, and but in all Iraq generally. That's why I'm traveling all around the world. But I've been denied entry to Canada, which is, I don't know why actually until now, but it was a surprise for me and for the doctors for Iraq and for Iraqi doctors who I present and with me all the time, with no basic background of this refusal of entry.
You were at the embassy in Jordan, is that correct?
Yep, exactly. I was in the embassy in Jordan, and it was I took with me all the papers, my passport with the old visas that I traveled around the world with it, and many countries in Europe mainly, in Asia, in Arabic countries. Anyway, I took all the papers with me that I need to submit to the embassy and submit to the embassy, and the officer in the embassy, she just didn't ask me only one question, who will pay for you? I told her the Peace Alliance group who will pay for me because they are hosting my travel and speaking tour in Canada, and that's all. She said to me, come at 2 o'clock afternoon and we will give you an answer. And that's all. I returned back after several hours to 2 o'clock, and she just said to me, I'm sorry, but you can find, you are been refused a visa to Canada, and the reasons in the paper, and that's all. I tried to speak to her, and she said, no, the reasons are in the letter.
And you have, on your speaking tour, you have been telling people about the barbaric acts that are happening in Iraq. Can you explain to our listeners some background about your speaking tour, what you're telling people, and perhaps maybe that's the reason Canada didn't let you in?
Well, actually, first of all, I'm a humanitarian worker and I'm an aid worker. I'm a doctor working in the field of clinics, and I was part of the doctors who were siege under Fallujah siege first, and I entered the second siege of Fallujah, and also we were in the siege in Qaim and Haditha, and I'm speaking to people touring the country, speaking about the breaches of Geneva Conventions regarding the Iraqi civilians, Iraqi personnel, medical personnel, medical units in Iraq, and by the all sides of the conflict, and mainly by the American troops, because they are main source of breaches of these conventions, and carrying with me documents, nobody showed it before, pictures, films, from the refugee camps, from the inside the bombed cities, and speaking frankly, and even that put me in difficult situation, even inside my country. But we have to continue this work, me and all doctors and doctors for Iraq, who are struggling for the same truth. And that's why we gain the respect of the people around the world, because we are neutral, we don't belong to anybody, we just belong to our Iraqi people. And we're showing the truth with documents. And this is our main proof. And that's why, as I told you, I was in Geneva in the WHO, who give us the first chance to Iraqi, normal Iraqi doctors, to speak about the situation in the ground. And that's why I was in South Africa before I came to England this time for about 2 or 3 days in a training course of human rights, and because I gained a scholarship of human rights and by the International Academy of Human Rights in the world, to study the Geneva Conventions and the breaches of medical neutrality. And they were shocked when I gave them all these evidences. And that's why I tried my best to go to Canada to tell the people the truth and how we can help, because we have to take responsibility inside Iraq now, how we can help in Iraq in this situation, because it's a disaster. If you give me 1 second, I will just tell you that. And last thing I want to tell our audience, I went to WHO, and this part of our tour is to appeal for the NGOs, for foreign aid organizations, to return back to Iraq, because the situation becomes so, so worse, and there's nobody can give us a good amount of support to those refugees and those families.
Can you give our listeners a little bit of an idea of what the actual situation is in a town like Fallujah? Is there power? Is there water? What are the living conditions like?
Well, I will give you just, before I speak about Fallujah, I just will give you a small hint about the situation that I came from in the west, mainly near Al-Qaim. You know that Qaim is on Iraqi-Syrian borders, and this Haditha also near Iraqi-Syrian borders, and it was a field of what you can call military operations the last about 2 months, and especially for about 1 week. Just I will tell you a new information, that a new press release that will be released, I think, within 1 or 2 days, showing how the American troops and the Iraqi army, they occupied the Haditha hospital and make it as a military camp. You can imagine, as a military camp for their operation inside the city, and they arrest 2 doctors. One of them is the manager of the hospital, and they beat him and they accuse him that he is treating insurgents, as they said. Anyway, this is one of the sad picture, but another sad picture that we are making a report that we have about 6,400 families internally displaced, I mean refugees, get out from the Qaim city and the villages around, and they are refugees in the middle of the desert, in this wind and this bad situation, no drinking water, and that's, I mean, and no medical facilities, because nobody of doctors who give the make the chance or the risk to go to these areas, and that's put us in a difficult, very difficult situation. I just came from areas where it's only we are 20 doctors or about hundreds and hundreds of families there. Each family members of average is 6 members. So let's give you a hint.
Do they have do they have medical supplies? Do they have...
No. I mean, when I told you that some medical facilities is very poor in these areas because of the ongoing military operations, we have a film from one of the hospitals, which is Haditha Hospital, which had been occupied this time for about 1 week and a half. This Haditha Hospital in last May had been burned by random shooting by the Americans. They used tank against this hospital, and the medical store in it, which is the supply of the medical stores of the whole west of Iraq hospitals, had been burned, and they killed one of his patients and one of the patients in his bed. So as a medical facilities, they're very, very poor medical facilities in these areas, and also nobody of doctors, as I told you, risk his life and go to these areas. Only who volunteered to go and continue working in these areas. That makes us in a very, very difficult situation. In addition to that, you have lacking of water and drinking water mainly, and you have also lacking of shelters. I mean, we have estimation about we need about 1,000 tents now to establish tents for those people who need shelters for them.
Now, are you receiving any help from any government organizations at all?
Well, after all, as I told you, all the main foreign aid organizations in the world have been withdrawn from Iraq, most of them, actually. The main one, for example, MSF, Oxfam, all of them have been withdrawn. Nobody working inside Iraq, and only we have the Iraqi Red Cross, who is doing somehow a job, but it cannot be efficient in a way that's covering all these needs. Even they themselves, they admit that they cannot offer this big amount of help. And we are not taking governmental aid. That's what we are depending on the people and the hospitals and doctors around in Europe who supplies with medication, with surgical sets that we need, and we distribute these areas. That's why we based the appeal to the foreign aid organization to return back to Iraq. That's why.
Have you received any confirmation that people are going to start helping you throughout this tour?
Well, I wish as I told you, it was one of the wishes that to go to Canada, because we heard about the Canadian situation and position from the war, from the beginning. But I've been astonished, and me and all doctors and many people who knows what happened, actually, about this action, why it happened, why the men have been refused entry, while many... I heard that Sharon will be in Canada soon. So we are denied a visa, and Sharon have been guaranteed a visa. It's something put a question mark anyway.
It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, but anyway, it's a matter of, I hope that to meet the Canadian people once in my life, and even if not in Canada, in Iraq, I hope that situation become better and we can meet and negotiate. At least because it's important not only to carry the truth, also to build the bridges that have been cut by the bombing of Iraq, and the trust between the Western people and the Iraqi people have been affected badly after that crime that ongoing in Iraq. And to be frank with you, I found the response from people in Europe who welcome our tour and speak and support us. And also, governmental. But I just astonish with the behavior of the Canadian government. I wish that's not something direct toward us, but I hope that in the future will let us to go and speak in the, for the Canadian people.
Can you just give our listeners a list of the countries that you have visited in the last 6 months, so that they understand that for Canada to deny you a visa is absolutely ridiculous? Can you just give us a list of the countries, or just name some of them?
I went to UK, Ireland, Amsterdam, Holland, Brussels, Norway, Greece, France, South Korea, South Africa, Jordan, Egypt, Syria, also Ecuador in South America, and now I will visit Indonesia, Malaysia, and I think also I will visit New Zealand in the soon future also.
Okay. Yeah. It's just incredible to me. It's just absolutely ridiculous. So I wish you the best of luck in what you're doing. If some of our listeners are upset about this, that the Canada government will not allow Dr. Salam into the country to tell the truth and to try to get help for the Iraqi people, they can contact Mr. Joe Volpe, which he's the Minister of Citizenship and Immigration. And his email is minister@cic.gc.ca. And you can call him at 416-781-5583. And I hope that some of you will act upon this, because this is just ridiculous. And I wish you the best of luck on your tour. And I just hope that some of those NGOs get back in there and start helping these people.
Thank you very much. And to all my listeners, to Canadian people.
Okay, have a good day.
Bye-bye.